Hey, you guys, movie review time once again. This is my Flickers of Fear show. The movie that we're talking about today, this is one that I had actually been looking forward to for a really long time, and I'm glad that I finally got a chance to see it, and it was actually even better than I was expecting. This is a movie that came out back in 2019, and it's called Extraordinary, and it's a horror comedy. Now, I don't remember when I first started hearing about this. I think it premiered at South by Southwest back in 2019 sometime, and I remember it having like kind of a lot of buzz like in the horror community with a lot of people saying, "Oh, this is a really great movie." And I kind of feel like at the end of the year, it turned up on a lot of people's like favorite movies that they had seen that year, even though it didn't really get a wide release until later on. So, I put it on my list probably sometime back in 2019 or maybe 2020. And I said, well, I'll get around to it one of these days because it sounded really funny. But it seemed like it was a little bit hard to get hold of, or you had to pay to rent it and things like that. So I was very happy that probably a week or two ago, Shudder, actually, at least in the United States, added it to their lineup. I believe it was on Netflix in the UK. I don't know if it is anymore, but I saw that like some British reviewers had said that it had come on Netflix. I don't think it's on Netflix in the US, but Shudder just added it in the United States. So I finally sat down and watched it. And what a fucking delight this movie is. It has, I will note, it has 98% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, and sometimes that means something and sometimes it doesn't. In this case, I think that's completely justified. Yes, there's probably going to be some crabby motherfuckers somewhere that are like, oh, they don't think it's funny or whatever, but honestly, this is just such. It's just such a warm, lovable, like hilarious type of movie that I don't know. To me, it just seems like a very hard movie to not like. But I mean, I know there's going to be some that don't, but I feel like I don't feel too nervous about recommending this to people that really like horror comedies because this is actually one of the most charming and funniest ones that I've ever seen. I'm especially going to recommend it if you like stuff like Ghostbusters or The Frighteners or Shaun of the Dead or What We Do in the Shadows, something like that. It's like that kind of sense of humor to it. So it sort of has that dry British thing going on. It's an Irish film, but it also has a little bit of like over the top, kind of like surrealist, absurdist type shit going on too. I kind of feel like mainly like one very minor criticism that some people gave it, I didn't have this, but some people I could see where they were coming from, said that they didn't think those two tones worked together very well. I did not have that problem. To me, it just all went together beautifully. And I just had such a fucking good time with this. And I just like laughed out loud so many times. It's one of the funniest horror comedies I've ever seen. And so I feel like it really needs a wider audience. So I'm glad that Shudder added it because I think a lot of people will see it. It has a 5-skull rating on there. There's one crabby motherfucker again that just gave it 1 skull and they were just like, I don't get the love. I hated it. But everybody else was just like, this movie's so awesome and everybody needs to see it. And I would agree with that assessment. So this is actually, I don't know if it's the debut feature film, but the two directors are named Mike Ahern and Enda Laufman. They might have made a couple movies before this, but I don't know if they were shorts. So yeah, so if this is their first film, I mean, kudos because like I said, this is one of the best movies I've seen like in a long time. I just enjoyed this immensely, and I'm sure I will probably watch it again at some point. I might actually even end up showing it to Tom because I feel like he'd probably think this was super funny as well. Like I said, because the vibe of it is very Ghostbusters-y, very Frighteners, and he loves Frighteners, so I probably think that he'd really like this. Now, this does lean more into the comedy end of things than the horror end of things, but it does have horror elements to it. Like there is some gore and things like that, and it has homages to like things like The Exorcist and stuff like that. And there's kind of like gross out sort of stuff in it too. Not super gross, but a little bit. But it mostly is a comedy. You know what I mean? Like very much like Shaun of the Dead. It's mostly like funny, but it just has like horror elements to it. So I didn't really recognize that many of the actors in this. The best known one probably will be Will For is it Fort or Forte? I can't remember. The dude from he's on SNL and 30 Rock and stuff like that. I had seen him in like various other things. So he's in this like as kind of the antagonist. But the other ones, the main character, Rose, is actually played by Maeve Higgins, who I guess she'd had some bit parts prior to this, but is mostly known as a comedian. And she is fucking great. I just love her character in this. She's just so lovable. And everybody in this, like all the good guy characters, I think the reason why this movie works and why I enjoyed it so much was just you couldn't help but love these characters. It's just they're quirky, but not like an annoying kind of way. It's just, I don't know, it's like really hard to explain. It's just, it's so, I don't know, it's just so wholesome and charming and lovable, but I don't know, it's just like I said, it's hard to explain. So here's the setup of the movie. Now it starts out with these really awesome, like cheesy VHS things with this guy who is like a paranormal investigator. And it turns out that he had done like this VHS series, you know, exploring the paranormal or whatever it's called. And he's like explaining like how to hunt ghosts and what to do about them and things like that. So this turns out to be, to have been the dad of our main character. Now our main character, Rose, she has a spiritual gift. She can see ghosts and can help them, like, you know, go into the light or into the afterlife or whatever. But, because when she was a kid, she was working with her dad, like, on a paranormal, like, investigation where they were doing, like, a sort of, not necessarily an exorcism, but kind of like that. And it went wrong. And her dad sort of ended up dying as a result of this thing. So she blames herself, and she said after that she wasn't going to use her what they call talents with a capital T anymore. So she's kind of like, you know, in her 30s or 40s or whatever, and she's been working as a driving instructor in rural Ireland. And as I said, she's, you know, she's single, she lives alone. She seems like a very, like, sweet, lovable woman. Like, she's not bitter or cranky or anything like that. She's just a very, very nice lady. And it's just kind of funny, they're like establishing her life where she just comes home and is eating like frozen lasagna, and she's sitting on one of those bouncy ball things in her kitchen, like in her underwear and shit like that. It's just like really, really funny. So they establish, oh, and by the way, this is not set in the present day necessarily. They don't really go that much into it, but from the looks of the technology, like the cell phones and stuff, it looks like maybe it's supposed to be early 2000s, but they don't ever say like specifically when it is. It doesn't really matter all that much anyway. But so they show that she still gets numerous, numerous messages and phone calls from people who want her, you know, who know her from her famous dad, like the paranormal investigator. And so they're always trying to call her for help if they're having some kind of haunting, but she always just kind of like ignores it. She's just like, look, I'm a driving instructor now. If you need me to help you to learn to drive, then I'll do that. But I'm not going to do that, that ghost shit anymore because something bad happened last time. So she gets all these messages and she ignores them. Now it turns out though, that there's this other guy named Martin. His name is actually Martin. And he's also a very sweet dude. And his wife, Bonnie, has passed away, but she doesn't want to leave the damn house. And Bonnie was probably seemingly really a piece of work when she was alive, because she just keeps, you never see her, but she keeps like kind of berating him from the afterlife. Like, she lays out his clothes for work in the morning, and if he goes to pick a different one, she has like, she starts throwing shit around and like hitting him with stuff. So she's like kind of abusive, like from the afterlife. It's not funny, but I mean, it's kind of played funny, but you know what I mean? So she's kind of like doing fucked up shit, like putting messages in his morning toast and shit like that. So this has been going on for a while, and he's a little browbeaten, but he's sort of like reluctant to get rid of her because, you know, that's still his ex-wife, and he still is kind of hanging on to her because he still presumably has some feelings for her and feels bad about kind of exorcising her out of the house, but it's kind of becoming unlivable just because the ghost is just kind of like fucking up his life constantly. And he also has a teenage daughter named Sarah. Sarah finally convinces him. They're like, she's like, look, you can't live like this anymore. Like, mom's been dead a while. You know, she's just beating your ass from the afterlife. Why don't you call this Rose lady and, you know, exorcise her, get rid of her? And so the dad doesn't really want to do that. What he does at first, he's like, well, maybe I'll just go talk to Rose and I'll pretend that I want to learn to drive. And then, you know, she'll say no. And then I can just tell my daughter, hey, I went and asked her and she said no. And that's the end of it. Because like I said, he's afraid to let go of his ex, of his wife. So they do. So he goes and like, you know, pretends to get a driving lesson. And the two of them kind of hit it off a little bit. It's just kind of like a little, there's kind of a little cute, like a little tension between them and stuff. And she's kind of like, oh, he's kind of cute and blah, blah, blah. And then she goes, she also has a pregnant sister, and they kind of like talk about it as well. So this almost has like a veneer of like paranormal rom-com, but not in an irritating way. Like I said, it's mostly like, because there's like a little love story type situation going on there too, but it's mostly like the paranormal stuff. Now, so we have kind of like three tendrils going on. You have Rose's thing at the beginning, and then you have Martin and his, you know, dead wife and the daughter, and then you have the third thread in this tale, which is a dude played by Will Forte named Christian Winter. Now, Christian Winter was an American pop star who had who was like a one-hit wonder. Looked like sometime in maybe the late 70s or early 80s, like judging from the bits of the video of his Today show. This song called Cosmic Woman, which is just like, just imagine like the cheesiest, I mean, it's hilarious. Like the shit is hilarious. So they show like parts of his video and there's kind of like a little news footage of like he had this massive hit like back in the day, but after that, you know, no one really cared anymore, so he's like a one-hit wonder. So he moved to this castle in Ireland because of like some tax shelter situation. So he's been living like nearby, and he's decided, as you do, that he's kind of just sick of being this, keep being a joke. They call him like One-Hit Winter because that's his last name. And he's like, so he decides that he is going to make a pact with Satan to be wealthy and famous again. So that's what he's, so that's why he's the antagonist. Like that's what he's doing. He also has a wife named Claudia who is, knows what he's doing. Cause she wants in on it too. Cause she wants, you know, the money and fame and everything, but she's just like constantly nagging and constantly like not really thinking it's all that big a deal. Like there's one scene in the beginning. I hate to like spoil too much about it, but some of the shit in here is just like so funny that I can't help myself. But one scene at the beginning, so to do the pact with Satan, he needs to sacrifice a virgin, right? So he has found one and kind of has her in suspended animation because it has to be done like on the blood moon. It's this whole thing. So he kidnapped one and he's kind of keeping her in his castle, like in suspended animation. And his wife accidentally, and I'm not going to say like what the specifics of this are, but his wife accidentally makes her explode. So he gets mad and he has to go get another one. Like at short notice. So initially at first you think these kind of three stories aren't really connected all that much. Well, the Martin and Rose story is connected because he calls her up to get rid of his wife. But then the whole satanic pop star angle comes into it too, because he loses that his first virgin and he sets his sights on Sarah, Martin's daughter. You know, he's going to kidnap her and she's going to be the sacrifice, at which point Rose has to come in and like help him save his daughter, like, from being sacrificed to Satan. So there's that whole situation going on, too. Like I said, it sounds like an absurd premise, and it is, but the way that it's pulled off is just, like, so, I know it's just so lovable, and it's just so charming and so funny that, I don't know, like I said, the Will Forte part, like, with the Satanist, because I know that he's kind of, I haven't seen a great deal of stuff that he's in, but you know, he's sort of known for doing these kind of over-the-top roles. And the role that he does here as Christian Winter is absolutely over-the-top, but I think not as much as some of his other roles. So if you are thinking that he's going to be like some screechy, like I saw one thing say it was kind of like Adam Sandler. I'm like, no, it's not like that. But it is over-the-top, like absurd. But it kind of reminded me of like, you know, the British version of The Office, where he showed the new wave videos he made like back in the old days. It's kind of like that, like except like a little bit cheesier, but it's just like the whole thing with him sacrificing the thing and then like having a regular life, like with this naggy wife that's constantly trying to scam free Chinese food and stuff like that, not really caring that much about what he's doing. She's like, would you just hurry up? Why don't we just kill the bitch? Come on. It's like, when are we going to be rich? And, you know, so it's all that kind of stuff. And she's just constantly berating him. So there's that going on. But I think the strength of this movie really is the sort of relationship that develops between Rose and Martin. It has kind of a nice message, too, because Martin, who was kind of like afraid, like I said, to get rid of Bonnie, like his dead wife, even though she was constantly like kicking the shit out of him and nagging him stuff for like from the afterlife and throwing dishes and whatnot. And, but he was still kind of like hanging on to her. And so, you know, his arc being to learn to let go of the past. And, you know, Rose kind of had the same thing going because she had to get to a point where because she didn't want to help Martin at first because, like I said, the last time she used her talents for paranormal, like, you know, helping ghosts go pass on to the afterlife, you know, her dad ended up dying. And so she has kind of like, she's like afraid to use her gifts like to their full ability because she's afraid something bad's going to happen. So it takes like a lot for her to sort of come back and get that confidence again and sort of, you know, get to a point where she's not afraid to use her gifts the way she used to. So it's kind of nice, the two of them. And like I said, the two of them play off each other so well. I want to say too that one of the best parts is, and again, this is kind of like probably too complicated to get into in the review, but one of the things they have to do to help Sarah not get sacrificed is basically Rose has to like channel all these different ghosts into Martin, and then like she needs to get some ectoplasm. So he actually, I hadn't seen him in anything else. He's been in some other stuff, but he was great. Like, because he had to like embody all these other people. And then toward the end, when he has to channel his ex-wife, Bonnie, oh my God. That was like one of the funniest fucking parts. Just like the physicality. And I don't know if he actually did a lot of the voices himself. I'm suspecting not. But if a lot of it's dubbed, it was dubbed really, really well, because it actually does look like he's doing a lot of the voices. But just like the physicality of him like going back and forth between all these different personalities, his different ghosts like inhabit him, and especially when his ex-wife inhabits his body, is just fantastic. So the first couple, you know, the first couple thirds, you know, the first two acts of this are basically like kind of just like a sweet paranormal rom-com, you know, type of thing, you know, with the satanic element coming into it. But then like the third act goes like pretty crazy, like when they're actually like racing against time to like stop this satanic ritual where Sarah's gonna get sacrificed. And like by the end of it, it's just like going completely nuts, and it's just hilarious, and I love it, you know. So and I really love like the kind of CGI at the end. It's just everything about this movie was a delight. I just thought it was so fun, and just so, and it just has such a cool like little emotional core to it. Like I said, it's very much, a lot of people have compared it to Ghostbusters. It is kind of like that, but you know, I saw a Variety, I think they called it like the tea cozy Ghostbusters, which is a pretty good description, but it has its own thing going on. It's almost kind of like Ghostbusters, but with the sort of Shaun of the Dead type sensibility. And, you know, just a drier sense of humor, I guess. And the effects aren't always over the top. It's not like, because I feel like Ghostbusters is more like an action comedy, whereas this is kind of more like, you know, more low key. You know what I mean? It's not, it doesn't really go over the top with, you know, crazy shit going on until the end. And even then, it's not really that much over the top. But there's just, I don't know, just the tone of this just hit exactly right for me. It's like so, so funny. I found myself just like busting out laughing like a bunch of times. Just so many parts of this are great. Like I said, I think one of my favorite things was Martin like channeling his ex-wife like toward the end, which was just, it was just like so fucking funny. I just couldn't even stand it. But just like the way he stood and like cigarette comes out of his mouth like from nowhere. So like there's just like the way he talked. It was just like so fucking funny. So there was that. But it's just like the kind of interstitials they have, like with the VHS tapes of Rose's dad, like with one of his VHS series about exploring the paranormal. It's like they would pop that in every now and then because sometimes she'd be watching them. And it's like those were fucking funny because they're like super low key, and they're talking about, have you ever, you know, eaten cheese and felt weird afterward? You might have eaten a ghost. It's like, it's just like very, very dry, like the way they say everything. Like it's just completely matter of fact. And it's just like so, so funny to me. But yeah, it's honestly, and another thing too, and I watched a couple other reviews of this, and weirdly, a couple of them that weren't even like presumably like related to one another or had seen one another, a couple of them said, they're not, you know, it's like we're not usually into sequels or anything, but they would absolutely watch a sequel to this because the way that it ends, it doesn't necessarily set it up for a sequel, but you could make one if you wanted to. Like, you could expand the universe out. And honestly, if they did that, I would actually really like to see that. Just because the characters, particularly the characters of Rose and Martin, are just so lovable, and they're so great together. Like, they make such, the chemistry between them is so good and so funny that I would totally watch a whole other movie about those two, like, going on more, like, paranormal shenanigans and investigations and stuff. That would be fucking amazing. I don't know if that will ever happen because, as I said, this did not play in theaters here as far as I know. It did kind of the festival circuit. It might have showed, I believe I saw that it showed like a limited release, maybe like theatrically in the UK, but I don't think it got anything like a theatrical release in the US. And to be honest, even though I saw it mentioned on, a bunch of horror sites, it seems like it didn't really get a lot of mainstream attention. And that's really a shame because this movie is just so, I mean, I kind of feel like anybody that would watch it, it's just, I just can't see how you wouldn't love it. It's adorable. And I don't mean that like in a twee like way, kind of way or anything like that. It's just a really sweet movie, but it also has like really fucked up, like it says it even, it also has like exploding children in it too. So there's that, but I don't know. There's just something about it. And I kind of wish that, I'm so glad that Shudder finally picked it up because I really, really hope this gets a wider release. It's just so, so fun. And just talking about it for this review, I just watched it yesterday, and I was like, just talking about it for this review makes me want to watch it again, which I don't usually do. I don't usually watch a movie like, you know, 2 days in a row or anything. But I think I totally would with this one because there might have been like some jokes and shit going on in the background that I missed. And so now I have to like pick all that up, pick up on it. So I think I maybe will watch this again. Maybe not today, but maybe soon, you know, before Shudder gets rid of it. But if you have Shudder, please watch this. It's so, so funny, especially if you like horror comedies, like I said. And if you're a fan of any of the ones that I mentioned previously, then you will probably love this. Like I said, it does seem like 98% of people that watched it loved it. And I, you know, am totally on board that train. This was so good and so fun and just so entertaining and easily one of the best horror comedies I've seen in the last few years. And so let me know if you've watched it, what you thought about it, if you thought it was funny. I hope you do because I'm putting myself out there like recommended. But like I said, I'm pretty confident in saying that most people would think this was funny as well. So yeah, let me know what you thought about it in the comments. And that will do it for this Flickers of Fear. I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.